The 100-year-old ministry, 101-year-old ministry of Guidestone Financial Resources of the Southern Baptist Convention, taking care of 1,700 households every single month. And they, each and every one, has their own particular story. So there's 1,700 households that we take care of every single month. There's also some that we take care of through emergency grants, through expense grants, and things like that. But each and every one is at or below the poverty level. And 100% of what you give goes directly to them. We don't take out any operating costs. We don't take out any administrative costs. About 50 years ago, there was an endowment that was established that takes care of all of our administrative and operating costs. So every dollar that you give, and every dollar that I give as well, because we're generous givers as well, goes directly to these retired ministers and widows. 1,700 households nationwide that we take care of, and each and every one has their own specific story. You heard a little bit about those. I'm just going to weave some others in there as well, but I'm also going to just let you know one out of four of them is a widow over the age of 85. A little over $7 million is what it takes every single year to provide for them. And so let me encourage you. There's some brochures in the back. Let me encourage you, if you'd like to give, let me encourage you to pray about what you would give. Also, you can text MD Sunday to 41444. Yes, we've come into the modern age, you know, and but if you wanted to give through check, as many people do, about half of our donors give through check, and then about the other half give online and so on. But you can also go to missiondignity.org and click the donate button, and you can give there as well. We have a number of initiatives that are going on, of course. 100% of your gifts go to them. We started something here recently because we started hearing something from our recipients that if they had a need, like hearing aids, glasses, a medical bill that was too big for them to pay, we started something here recently called the Emergency Grant Fund. And so you can also give to that as well. 100% of what you give goes directly to them. It's a great, great ministry, 101 years old, been taking care of ministers since 1918. And so it's a privilege to be here, and I want to say thank you so much for allowing me to come. Donald and I met about 2 years ago when I first came over here. Jerry Cole and I have known each other for a few years, and so he and I were going to meet together, and Donald came over, and we started talking about this and that, and so it's a pleasure to be here this morning in his place. I want you to know that you have one of the great young pastors in the Southern Baptist Convention. You are a very generous church, first of all. You are obviously being good stewards of everything that God has given you. Thank you so much for that. It is a blessing. I want you to know I travel the nation. Not every church does that. Thank you so much for what you do with what God has given you. And let me encourage you to continue to do that. It is a blessing to be a blessing to others. Amen? In fact, the scripture, of course, says that God loves a cheerful giver, right? Well, that word cheerful is the word hilaro, where we get the word hilarious. So, God loves a hilarious giver, which means that we are to be joyful when we give, amen? And I want you to know, those smiles on that video are genuine. We have 1,700 households that are smiling today because of the generosity of God's people and because of the generosity of their Lord Himself. The Lord emptied Himself of the riches of heaven, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Emptied Himself of the riches of heaven to become a to become impoverished, emptied himself so that he could make us rich. Now, I'm not saying that that's a prosperity gospel or anything else. The fact is that our riches are not of this world. They're of eternal value. Amen. When we see Jesus face to face, we will have all the riches that we ever need. And that is because he emptied himself to become poor like us, so that we might have his righteousness applied to us. And that's a blessing. Amen. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. And we're going to, if you don't mind, stand in honor of God's Word as we read it together. Christ's ministry through you is what we're going to be talking about today. Christ's ministry through you. Did you know that when the Scripture says that we are the body of Christ, it actually means it? A lot of people don't think of it that way, but the Word of God is literal and true when it says that we are the body of Christ. Well, my friends, today, Christ wants to do His ministry through you. And He gave His model when He was here on this earth. So let's look at Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Soon afterward, He, being Jesus, went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with Him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means." Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you that you are the one who speaks to us. We ask that you would take your word and speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, I pray that you would be upon each and every person here this day. Lord, for anyone who is lost among us, I pray that you would convict them of sin and righteousness and judgment to come, that they would turn away from their wicked ways, and that they would turn to you as Lord and Savior, that they would experience salvation this day. Lord, for those who are saved, I pray that you would help them to be the hands and feet of Jesus today, that we would all work to further your kingdom for the time that we have. Lord, now is the time that you favor what we do. So, Lord God, I ask that you would be upon this time, that you would empty each and every one of us of ourselves, and that we might be able to give ourselves wholeheartedly to you, and that you, O Lord, would move through us. Lord, I offer up my own heart, my mind, my mouth, my actions. I surrender them to you. And I pray, O Lord, that you would have your way in this place. May I decrease and you increase. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm always amazed at God's people. I'm always amazed by the servants of the Lord, especially. The reality is that pastors have the privilege of serving. Pastors have the privilege of serving God's people. And I want you to know that so many of them give all that they have. I pastored for 20 years. My wife and I oftentimes were tithing back 75% of our own salary. And the reality is that we continue to give generously because God has given generously to us. We are so thankful that we can be the hands and feet of Christ to so many others. Now, Mission Dignity has been around for 101 years. It used to be called the Annuity Board. It used to be called before that the Commission on Ministerial Relief and Annuity. You know, they used to give big titles back then and so on and so forth. But it's been around 100 years and it's been helping for 101 years. these servants of the Lord. We honor them by giving to them in their time of need. And so many would continue to give and have such unselfishness. There was one in North Carolina that basically said, hey, you know, I pastored a church, two churches for 36 years, the last one for 16 years bivocationally. And at the end of my time there, I retired when I was 66, and he said, Brother Aaron, I really thought that I had enough. He said, one catastrophic hospitalization took everything that we had in savings and retirement. And then all of a sudden, we were impoverished. We sold our land. I moved on to my mother's land. And he said, my wife and I put up a trailer on my mother's land, and we just asked the Lord for help. He said, during the 16 years of me pastoring, we supported Mission Dignity. He said, I was having breakfast with one of my former deacons, and he said, my former deacon said, well, Pastor, have you checked in to Mission Dignity? And he said, oh, that's for people who are really in need. My wife and I totally identify with that type of mindset. Well, his deacon looked at him and he said, look around, Pastor. You're one who is really in need. Well, my friends, today he is receiving. And you know, one of the things that he said was, he said, for so many years, I taught people and I myself would give and give and give and give, hardly ever receiving. He said, Mission Dignity has taught me the blessing of receiving. You know, we receive salvation, right? We receive the gifts that God has given to us. How is it that the servants of the Lord have such a hard time in receiving? It's because so many times we look and we see the ministry as always giving. And if we don't empty ourselves completely and never receive, then we feel bad about it. But I'm here to tell you that it is a blessing to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord and to do all that His ministry has given to us. So let's look at His ministry and let's imitate it in this day. You, my friends, are called to imitate the ministry of the Lord. And I want you to notice how He conducted His ministry. Notice the first thing that He did. He went. And you are to go. So it is a privilege to be able to go because Christ goes through you. I want you to notice what it says in Luke chapter 8 verse 1. It says, soon afterward, He went on through cities and villages. You see, Jesus didn't stay in the same place. Nobody really does. The reality is each and every one of us goes from one place to another. We go to Walmart, we go to Target, we go to all these different places, we go to work. How many of you travel more than 30 minutes to go to your job? Guess what? You're going to a different place, you're going to a different village, a different city in order to do your job. The reality is each and every one of us are going somewhere. It's what we do when we go that determines whether or not we are being the hands and feet of Jesus in those places. Because Jesus went to these cities and villages because He was a goer. Therefore, we are to be goers. After all, His great commission that we are to fulfill says, go. The very first word, go. So therefore, we are to go as Jesus went. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 15. It says, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. You see, my friends, we are to go and We are to go and present the gospel to those around us. Now, some people might say, well, I'm doing my job by simply living my life in front of people. After all, they ought to see Jesus in me. My friends, Jesus was the perfect person, the only one to ever live on the face of the earth, and they crucified him. They did not see that he was perfect. Why? Because they were imperfect, just like everybody else in the world. We are all imperfect, therefore we do not see perfection. And since we do not see perfection, we are blinded by our sin. And since we are blinded by our sin, we need to be told how to be saved. And how are they to be told how to be saved? We are to go. We are to go because Jesus went. Well, I can tell you story after story of these retired ministers and widows who have gone. You heard how one went into Pima, would wake up at 4 a.m., Shirley Barnes and her husband, they would get up at 4 a.m. and go so that they could be able to present the gospel to those who are lost. Well, my friends, going is part of Christianity. We are to go because Christ went, and Christ continues to go through you. The second thing that we see is that Christ proclaims through you. Notice what it says in verse 1. It says, soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages proclaiming. That word proclaiming is the word keruso, where we get the word herald. Now, it's not the name herald, it's H-E-R-A-L-D. And it's the word that is used for someone who goes and heralds the message of the king. Back when Jesus was on the earth, of course, they didn't have the internet. They didn't have social media. They didn't have email. They didn't have newspapers. Rather, what kings would do is kings would gather a group of men who would go into the villages, and they would basically say, hear ye, the message of the king. Well, that's exactly what we are to do for our Lord. We are to be heralds for Him. In our own little villages, we are to be heralds for Him. We are to be the ones who go into our families, to our friends, to our own little sphere of influence, and we are to be heralds for Jesus. We are to proclaim the gospel. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. It says, how then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? That word preaching, once again, is the word keruso, the word herald, proclaiming. Well, my friends, let me ask you something. When's the last time you've been a herald for your Lord? When's the last time that you have proclaimed the gospel to someone who is in your sphere of influence? Is there a family member that you know that needs to hear about Jesus? Is there a coworker who needs to hear about Jesus? Is there someone who needs to hear about Jesus in your particular sphere of influence? Well, my friends, let me tell you, these retired ministers and pastors, they haven't stopped. They may be retired, but they aren't really retired. After all, we often say there is no real retirement, right? I often talk with retirees and they say, yeah, I'm more busy now than I've ever been. I know that because when my dad retired, he continued to, he was a university professor, and he continued to teach until he was 85 years old. He retired when he was 63. Well, my friends, the reality is that we never retire as believers in Jesus Christ, right? We are to continue to proclaim the gospel no matter where we go. There's one who is in Kansas, and he was a pastor for 38 years. And I talked with him here recently. I actually write about him in our year-end appeal letter. And he and his wife continued to preach the gospel, continued to do so until he retired. And then once he retired, he continued to preach the gospel even until he was 80 years old. He's 82 now. His wife recently passed away just a few months back. And he's gotten in poor health. I talked with him here recently, just about a month ago. And he said, "Yep, I was in the hospital just after my wife passed away. It was too much stress on me." And he said, "I would go into the chapel, and whoever was there, I'd tell them about Jesus." He said, "From my own hospital bed, I was telling people about Jesus." Because we are to be heralds wherever we go, amen? So not only are we to go, not only are we to proclaim, but this is one of the few passages that actually has proclaiming and evangelizing in the same verse. Notice what it says. It says, "Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God." That word, bringing the good news, is the word where we get, is the Greek word where we get the word evangelism. It basically means to evangelize those around you. So not only was he heralding, but he was also bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. Well, my friends, the reality is the kingdom of God is good news. The fact that we were in a kingdom of darkness before we came to know Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, and now we are in the kingdom of light, is good news. Amen? And others need to hear it. Notice what Jesus does. He goes and he proclaims and he brings the good news of the kingdom of God. So that means that Christ evangelizes through you. Well, I taught of missions and evangelism for 6 years there at Criswell College, and I'm just going to tell you, it is one thing to be able to teach it. It's another thing to be able to go and do it. What we would do is we would take our students into areas that they had chosen, and we would proclaim the gospel to those in those areas. We went into a North Dallas area, and we were proclaiming the gospel in that area, going door to door and telling people about Jesus. We got up a little Bible study, baptized three of those people, had two of them that were living together get married because they got saved and realized that they needed to stop living in sin and started to live for Jesus after that. And my friends, today they are proclaimers of the gospel in their workplaces as well. Real transformation. Well, we also see that in some of our retirees as well. Some of these recipients. Miguel and Piedad de Luna. I had the privilege, they were on the video. I had the privilege of taking them to that video, to shoot that video. I had to stop a couple of places because they live sort of far out. And so I had to stop a couple of places, and so anyway, it was so interesting. Miguel is a evangelist. Now this man, he got saved. He goes to the priest, tells him how he gave his life to Christ. The priest tells him, "Get out," because the priest didn't want him preaching the gospel to his congregation, his parishioners. So what does he do? He goes and he just starts going door to door and he starts preaching the gospel. He goes into Kansas. He starts up a few churches and so on. he gets to the point to where he is doing his PhD and he is about to earn his PhD and he gets sick. Well, by that time, he had to basically give up what he was doing. But my friends, he never stopped evangelizing. When we would stop at the gas station, he got out. He didn't let me just pump the gas. He got out and he started telling people around, the person in next to me that was pumping their gas, he started telling them about Jesus. He started telling everybody around. When we get to the place where we're doing the video shoot, he starts telling those who are in the video shoot how to be saved. Because he could not stop proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Couldn't stop being evangelists for Jesus Christ. These are the types of people that you are supporting. They do not stop because they continue to love their Lord so much so, and they know that Christ's ministry goes through them. He proclaims through them. He evangelizes through them. But he also supports through them. And he supports through you as well. Notice what it says in Luke chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. It says, "And also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means." Now get this. The Son of God, who could turn water into wine, who could take five loaves and two fish and multiply them to feed 5,000, had people who supported his ministry. Think about that for a second. The Son of God, who owns everything. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The Son of God had people who supported his ministry. And think about it this way. We know from other passages that Jesus' ministry had a money bag. And there had to be enough in it for Judas to steal from it and nobody notice. Think about that for a second. That means that Jesus' money bag, and think about it, it takes a lot to support one man. When you have 12 that are following him, and then all the other ministry that he did, it takes quite a bit of money to do that. Well, how was he supplied? It was through the means of others. Jesus himself was supported by others. Therefore, it is a privilege for us to support those who are in the ministry. I can see that you take care of your pastor, that you take care of your staff. I'm so thankful that you do. Let me encourage you to continue to do so. It was because of the generosity of God's people that my wife and I were provided for all those years. It continues to be a privilege to give in that way. Mission Dignity. You continue to support the ministries of those who have given their lives for the cause of Christ through giving to Mission Dignity. Think about it for a second. You have the privilege of doing what these who are mentioned in Scripture by name, to join in with them in supporting those who are giving their lives for the Lord. I want you to notice that Christ supports through you. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Therefore, all that you have is the Lord's anyway. You are simply given back. And I'm going to tell you, just because these retired ministers and widows are receiving doesn't mean that they don't give. My first week on the job, I had the privilege of looking through, you know, the receipts that were coming through and so on, just to familiarize myself with people and so on. And there was one that was for $30 from a lady named Bernie Hedrick. I looked her up in the system. She's a recipient. So I called her and I said, "Miss Bernie," I said, "you don't have to give. You're receiving." And she goes, "How old are you?" I said, "I'm X years old." And she said, "You can't outgive God." She said, "I'm always going to give because you can't outgive God." Well, my friends, most of our recipients give something back every single year, if not monthly. Most of them do. And they all have the same story. You can't outgive God. They know the value of generosity. They know the value of sowing and reaping. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 and 7 says this. It says, "Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches." You've been taught the word by someone throughout your life. What a great way to give back to them or to someone like them. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. So if you sow generosity, you will reap generosity. If you sow selfishness, you will reap selfishness. But praise be to God that we have a group of people who continue to give just like you, just like me, who sow generosity. My friend, today, let me encourage you to not only give your life to Christ, but also give all that you have to Christ. Because all that you have is His anyway. And so, therefore, when you give your life to Christ, give all of it. Every aspect of your life. Be one who goes. Be one who proclaims. Be one who evangelizes. Be one who supports. Will you allow Him to do that today? Will you allow Christ to go through you? Will you allow Christ to proclaim through you? Will you allow Christ to evangelize through you? Will you allow Christ to support through you? If so, let me encourage you. Surrender it all to Him today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? There might be some of you who say, "Well, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and my Savior in the first place." If you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, then today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to give your life to Christ. Let me encourage you. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All of us are sinners. We've all broken God's law, and therefore we fall short of the glory of God. The glory of God is heaven. Falling short of the glory of God is hell. When we sin, our destiny is hell. But Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The payment for our sin is death and hell, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He offers a gift of eternal life. So how do you receive it? Romans 5:8 says this, "God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Christ died on the cross for your sins. He took every one of your sins and put them all upon Him. And He died for your sins in your place. And He rose from the dead for your justification. Justification means that you have been declared innocent of all the charges against you. That Christ died for your sins, but He rose from the dead that you might be justified, that you might be declared innocent of all the charges against you. Acts 3:19 says this, "Repent then and turn to God, that your sins may be wiped out, that the times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Repent, turn away from your sin. Turn to the Lord as your Lord and your Savior today. Turn away from your sin and turn to Him, declaring Him the master of your life." And Romans 10:9 says this, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:13 says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Will you call on Him right now? Will you call on Him right now? Repenting of your sin, declaring Him the Lord of your life, believing in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. If so, pray a prayer much like this. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross for me. Thank You for rising from the dead. Lord, I believe in You. Lord, You know that I'm a sinner, that I've done wrong. I repent. I turn away from my sin. I turn to You as my Lord and my Savior, believing in my heart that You have been raised from the dead. In Jesus' name." If you prayed a prayer much like that and you gave your life to Christ, during the response time, come and meet me here at the front. There might be someone else here at the front that you could meet as well. Let me encourage you to do so. There might be others of you here today that you have Jesus in your life, but you haven't been going and proclaiming and evangelizing and supporting. Maybe you need to surrender a certain aspect of this part of Jesus' ministry through you to Him. There might be some of you who have other needs. This is your time to respond to the Lord. Maybe you need to just come and kneel here at the front. Maybe you need to kneel where you are. Maybe you need to get something right with someone else in this place. This is your time to respond to the Lord in the way that He is calling you to respond. Lord God, I pray that You would be with these who need to make decisions. Move as only You can. Cast out every demonic presence, that Your Spirit would be the only Spirit speaking to these who are here today, that they might respond to You and You alone in the way that You are calling them. Move as only You can. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Would you stand and come?